Check. Good evening, everybody. Time to get started. Good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. So the leaflets are in the back. So if you need one, or if somebody can go grab the pile, that would be great. Brother Jesse is going to grab some if you need one. Please hold up your hand if you need a leaflet. Got some folks in the front, got some in the middle. Brother Jim, do you know where those leaflets are? They're looking for them. Who? Oh, Andy's got them. All right, so if you need one, lift your hand up for us this evening. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to looking forward to reasoning together in the Word of God. There's much to pray about, much to be concerned about. And as many of you know, the incident that happened in Upper Sandusky the last few days, we need to pray, keep prayer for that family. But it solidifies the understanding and knowing that if there was ever a time when the church needs to seek the face of God, it is in the hour in which we live. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And I appreciate the direction that our pastors are taking us. And I know that many of you have been out in prayer in the mornings and some of you in the evenings. And that's just so awesome. And if anything is going to help us, it's prayer and seeking the face of God. And as Pastor Joe said Sunday, sometimes if you don't know what else to say, just say, help. Help us, God. We need your help. And we're going to recognize and acknowledge our need for you. So tonight, our lesson study is on lesson number 5. And it's a good lesson study to begin with as we start the new year. Because in the direction that we're going, the first place that there needs to be change is in the family. Amen? A church is a direct reflection of the families that are attending that church. Amen? Yes. We, our families affect where we go to church and what's happening here. And we need to take charge of our families. Now, what I mean by that is not the dad ruling with an iron fist and the mom standing around telling everybody what to do. Amen? But leading your family means that you lead with example. And if you don't want your kids to lie, then don't you be lying. If you want your kids to have good things coming out of their mouths, then moms and dads, those good things better be coming out of your mouth. And so that's what we're going to talk about in the next few weeks. But we're going to hone in and zero in on one of the most important things that we can do is that we make God's word central in our homes. And so we're looking at the book of Deuteronomy. How many of you know what the word Deuteronomy means? Deuter, what does deuter mean? Somebody say it.
Two.
Second law. So Moses begins to reiterate what he has already said to the children of Israel. And I want somebody to read, if you would, please, for me, Deuteronomy 1 and verse 3. Can somebody come to the microphone and read that for me? Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 3. And it doesn't matter whether it's King James or not, whatever you got. It's like Bible races. Whoever gets it first. Go ahead, Brother Jesse. Just this verse 3. And what translation are you reading?
This is a New Living Translation.
Okay.
But 40 years after the Israelites left Egypt, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses addressed the people of Israel, telling them everything the Lord had commanded him to say.
Okay. How many years?
40.
They've been wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. And Moses is now repeating what he has already told them. But you understand and know that he is telling a great brand new group of people. Because when he first said this law, all of those people are dead. How many of you know that it's important for the next generation of people to know the Word of God as much as the former generation? If I've lived for God all my life and I've not translated what I know to be the truth to my children and my grandchildren, I have failed. And it doesn't matter what kind of life I've lived, doesn't matter how holy I am, doesn't matter how many times I go to church, doesn't matter if my grandkids said, "Grandma never missed a church service." None of that matters if I don't communicate the Word of God to them. So Moses is now reiterating Deuteronomy. He's giving a second law. And he is repeating in chapter 5, if you read Deuteronomy, Moses repeats the Ten Commandments that he first gave in Exodus 20. And he repeats the commandments of this second law. So let's look at, first of all, the first verse of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, and the first verse in our lesson. I'm reading from the King James Version this evening. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." This statement is said by every Jewish person. It is called the Shema. Shema means to hear. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Why is this verse so important to them? Why is this so important? Anybody know? Why was it so important here before they went into the promised land? How many of you know that there are seven? Go ahead, brother. You got it. You're wanting to tell me.
I'm going to give all that detail. Where they're going, there's a lot of false worship and a lot of idolatry and things of that nature. So
God reminds them, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord." He had just right before this began to talk to them. Go ahead, Brother Andy. Come on up. About, "You shall have no other gods before me, and make unto you any graven image." Go ahead.
So I don't know if there's any relevance here, but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Mm-hmm. So Lord, God, Lord. So three.
Three in one. Amen. Anybody else?
Yes, he's telling them one Lord because that's God wants to bless them. Mm-hmm. And blessings come from obedience and loving God instead of loving all these idols and stuff around and doing what you want. So he was ready to bless them and give them promises on that. And it comes from, but they have to love God or else you get curses, you don't get blessings.
Right. And you know that their gods were the god of nature and the god of thunder and the god of whatever else they decided to make a god out of to give offering to. And so God wanted them to understand and know that there is only one God, only one righteous God, and that's all you need. And also the children of Israel were so unique because they did not have a graven image of what their God looked like. They were not to have a graven image. Every other society in which they'd ever passed through or been in contact with had some kind of image of what their God looked like. And so people relied on the idol. They would bring their offerings to the idol. They would bring food offerings to the idol. They would give their bodies to the idol. And God said, no, that is not what's going to happen. And we understand and know why that is. Because when people make a graven image out of their own hand, out of their own imagination, it's corrupted. It can't not be corrupted. It's made by people who are corrupt. And God said, that is not the kind of people I want. Let us this day, 2023, decide that if there is any other thing that we have lifted up beside the name of Jesus, that we need to remove it from our hearts, from our minds, from our homes, from our lives. And we can think of all kinds of things that can be an idol. Sports folks and all kinds of things that we can lift up and spend more time with than we can with the Lord God. So God says, I don't want you to lift up anybody except me. I'm one Lord. Verse 5 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy heart and with thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Not just a plaque on your wall. Amen? Not just a nice saying that you have above your china closet. But it's going to be in here and you're going to live it. You're going to walk it. You're going to talk it. You're going to be what you say you are. If there is ever a time in this nation that Christians need to be who they say they are, it is in the hour in which we live. Amen. Let's live it, folks. You know, all the talking in the world doesn't do any good, but when you live it, it makes a huge difference in people's lives and hearts. When you begin to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost in your life, when you begin to say God heals and then you lay hands on the sick, when you begin to say Jesus can heal that broken heart and then you minister to somebody with a broken heart, that makes it real. And it's not about what you have on your bumper sticker. It's about what you have in your heart. There's an old joke that says a lady was pulled over because of her behavior on the road. And the policeman stopped her and said, she said, is there a problem, officer? And he said, is this car stolen? And she said, no, it's my car. He said, well, I pulled you over because you have a bumper sticker that says, honk if you love Jesus. And I thought the person that's in this car doesn't belong to this car. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. So verse number 7 says this, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. What does diligently mean? Somebody Google it. You got your phones on you. Google the word diligently or diligent. What does it mean? You can shout it out if you want to. Go ahead.
Having or showing care and consciousness in one's work or duties.
Okay. So you're caring about those duties. You're conscientious.
There you go.
You are sticking with what you say, with every fiber of your being, this is who you are. You are going to teach diligently to your children. My husband was a person who never liked to be late for church, never. He started hollering, I should say hollering, but he would announce that in 30 minutes, we're going to leave. 30 minutes. He would just go through the house. And the kids as teenagers would absolutely hate it. We have 10 minutes. 10 minutes. And I don't know how many times my girls, and that was back in the day of big hair. You remember the 80s and 90s hair? Would come out with a can of hairspray on their way to church into the car. And we literally had gunk on the sides of our, where they sat, where they would spray their hair in the car as we, because that was important to him. And he showed that every single Sunday morning. But there are other things that are just as important and that you need to be completely diligent about. And I was thinking about this lesson all week, this week. And the Lord has been dealing with my heart, because when you're a grand, when you're a grandparent, part of your role changes. You are no longer anybody's boss. And we right now have 6 grandchildren who are young adults who are driving and college age and living on their own. And what can I tell them that makes any difference? What can I tell them that counteracts the college professor? What can I do as a grandparent that counteracts the world in which they live and what their friends tell them? Can I do anything? And some of you are shaking your head, yes.
Love them and God loves them.
All right, so you love them?
And God loves
them. Let them know that God loves them. And pour them out in prayer. Pour them out in prayer. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes it feels like it's just not quite enough. You know, because when they're little, you get them by the hand when they're misbehaving and you drag them to where you want them to be and you send them to their room and, you know, you have control to a certain extent. And even when they're teenagers and they live in your house, you say, listen, buddy, I pay for that cell phone. If you don't straighten up, out that goes. I'm not paying for it if you don't straighten up. You don't get any money for gas. You don't get to go to your friend's house. But all of a sudden, they're not in your house. And all of a sudden, they're not even visiting you like they used to. All of a sudden, as a grandparent, you don't see them for weeks at a time. And I said, Lord, is this enough? And he said to me, Betty, yes, it is. And you are still living by example. You still are. And we need to take these scriptures to heart and be more serious about them than we ever have before. Pastor, you got something?
So we started out the service talking about, you know, graven images and people making idols and how God said don't do that. Here's where I've come in my studies looking at this, is anything that a man makes is made in his image.
Right.
Not in God's image. Therefore, it cannot be a god, right? But one thing, another reason I feel like God said don't make an image of me is because God already did that.
Right.
Just a reminder, God said, let us make man in our image.
Yeah.
And likeness. Mm-hmm. And so what you're saying brings that to fruition, basically, to the point is, we are supposed to be the reflection of God.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we reach our families? We must, not maybe, not try. No, we must reflect the image of God.
Yes.
We are his image bearers. Mm-hmm. People should see God in us, Jesus
Amen.
In us. Not that we are gods.
Right.
Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But we should reflect his image. And so, like you said, we set that example. And a lot of times it's not what we say, it's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important that what we're saying matches what we're doing.
Amen. Verse 7, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be at frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. So everywhere you do it, it says teach and share. Teach and share, teach and share. Tell what God has done for you in your life. Go ahead, Sister Alicia.
I like how he told us to be diligent, and then he showed them how to be diligent.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. in our own lives, I think sometimes that can be overwhelming, the thought of diligently teaching our children and being intentional. Are we doing enough?
Mm-hmm.
But if we let the Holy Spirit show us how,
yeah.
then we don't have to stress. We just have to obey.
Yeah. So it's in your home first. Did you notice that? The first place that you teach and share and talk about it is in your house. And then when you go out of your house, it's before you all the time. It's before you and you see it. Not necessarily as these people were, but in your mind and in your heart all the time. How do I share the gospel of Jesus? How do I teach the gospel of Jesus every place I go to show people how important it is in my life? And when thy son asks thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments what the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then shalt thou say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders and great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. First of all, I want you to see what he did. He said, when your son asks you, so in that instance, there is a ability for that son to talk to you. If you're too busy to talk about spiritual things, you can't teach them to your children. You have to take the time to teach and talk to your children, and not just bark orders. Did you take out the trash? Did you make your bed? Stop bugging your sister. You know, all of the things that we say every single day. Did you brush your teeth? Why are you wearing your hair like that? What are you wearing? Why are you wearing those clothes? And that's what we do. We forget to talk. And we just shout out a bunch of rules. And we have to remember to talk and to converse. And when he asks you, you tell him what happened to you. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no better thing for you to do than to share your testimony with your children and your grandchildren. And I get it, sometimes you might can't share all the gory details, and that's a good thing. But share your past with them and tell them what Jesus has done for you. There isn't anything more in my life that has impacted my life more than people sharing their story with me. There is hope in people's stories. And if you think your kids think you're perfect, they don't. So don't worry about sharing your story thinking, oh, they're going to think this image of me is... Don't worry about it. Share your story. Share your downside and share what Jesus has done for you. Go ahead, sister.
So I love the book of Deuteronomy because obviously it comes after Exodus. And the examples here show Exodus, which is a type and shadow of us and our rebellion against God. But in Exodus, the Lord came down on Mount Sinai, right, and showed the people of Israel all his glory with the quaking of the mount or the shaking of the mountain, the thunder, the lightning, which is a foreshadow of Jesus. So the only way that we're able to do any of this is by beholding the image of Jesus, becoming, like Pastor said a bit ago, into the likeness of Jesus. Then we can love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength, which he goes on to say Jesus is the greatest commandment. And then the second, obviously we know that.
One of the things I wanted to say tonight is that, and Pastor Bobby always said this a lot, was don't say, well, this is what my church teaches. Don't say that. This is what our church teaches. Why don't we do this, Mom? Well, it's what the church teaches. That's not good enough. Why don't you do this, Mom? Why don't you do that? Why do you do this, Mom or Dad? Because, first of all, I'm going to give it to you from the Word. And second of all, I'm going to tell you that in my own life, because you know what's going to happen? When you say something from the Word, one of your kids is going to say, well, Sister so-and-so doesn't do that. Is she sinning, Mom? Whew, you're walking on shaky ground. But what you must do is tell them, this is what Jesus has said to me. And because he said it to me, this is how I have to live my life. And because you are under my roof, then this is why I'm teaching you this way. Because Jesus has told me that. And it's my responsibility. It's a huge responsibility that I have, that I need to teach you this. And it needs to be done in a way that's not harsh. Or if you don't do it, you're all going to hell. But it also needs to be taught in a way, the Lord says here, his statutes and his judgments, they go hand in hand. If you do this, guess what? This is going to happen to you. If you live your life like this, guess what? This is going to happen to you. Statutes and judgments. But what he says here is, verse 24, the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, the fear of our Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. He wants to do us good all our days. He wants to preserve us, to keep us safe. And that's why he gives us statutes. And that's why he warns us of the judgment that happens if you don't keep the statutes. And that's what he tells the children of Israel this day. Go ahead, Brother Andy.
Well, in the Gospel of John, it says the commandments are everlasting life. And in 1 John...
jumped out of your head?
Yeah, it did. it shouldn't be grievous to keep his commandments because we're God's friends, not being whipped as slaves. Or
So it shouldn't be a grievous thing. And if it feels like that, we're not doing it right. Go ahead, Brother Jacob.
I think one thing important is to remember the fruits of the Spirit, especially in them times, you know, patience is fruit of the Spirit. And for the Holy Spirit to be able to minister the words that we're to speak, you know, because in that hour that we speak, we'll know what to say because it's his Spirit that is working through us.
Amen.
So I think it's also making sure we take that extra step back and, you know, whatever it is we got to do, read the Bible, go for a walk, whatever it is you got to do, you know, and so we can stay in the Spirit.
Yes.
And then you know, our kids are going to see that time after time after time again. Amen. And that is going to be that living word for them through Amen. Christ.
And again, that's teaching. That's teaching, Brother Jairus.
There's something very important you've been saying, and it just keeps reminding me and contextualize what's going on in that scripture and what's going on nowadays. Because I believe the main objective of the enemy against Israel back in those days was to wipe out Israel.
Yeah.
And exterminate it.
Yeah.
And God basically says, the only way you guys will not be exterminated is if you start with the family.
Yes.
That's where it starts.
Yes.
And if the enemy cannot wipe the values of obedience in the family, you will be a nation.
Yes.
So the same thing for the church nowadays.
Yes.
The main objective of Satan right now is to steal the values of morality and mm-hmm. obedience of the Christian family.
Yes.
And by doing so, he will wipe out, which he won't be able to do that because Jesus said that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. But every family must be very diligent
yes.
on protecting that mm-hmm. because, yes, Satan cannot wipe out the church, but he can wipe out a family.
Yes.
So
yeah.
I believe with all of my heart that that God is about to do something great in this mm-hmm. earth.
Yes.
And starts with a family.
Amen. 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 Brother Ryan.
Deb Foster's online, and she said, that is how my grandma Reisner taught me, using the word.
Amen. Amen. But again, and you've heard it a million times, God doesn't have grandchildren. So we can say, you know, our grandma did. My grandma was a godly woman. Well, what about you? What about you? Are you reflecting the teachings of your grandma who you loved so much? Are you repeating what she had in your life? And obviously it's not exactly, because the church that I grew up in doesn't look like it does now. Some of those things are not bad or good. They're just, it doesn't really matter. Clothing styles and haircuts and jewelry and makeup and all of those things. And I don't regret being raised in a very strict atmosphere. I don't, not one day have I ever regretted that. But the church doesn't look like it did when I was a child. And some of it's for the better. And some of it, as I said, is just neutral. It doesn't even matter. So I have to live in this life today. And I can't stay in the past. I can take the things, as Sister Deb Foster said, that my grandmother taught me, that my mother taught me, and I can bring them along, those things that will last, those things that are eternal, I can bring them along with me and leave the other stuff behind. I can leave the church pew behind, or the artwork, or the whatever else was in another era of my life. I can leave those things behind, but those other things I need to bring along with me. But not only do I need to bring them along with me, but I need to give them out to somebody else, either to my grandchildren or somebody else's grandchildren. Listen, we're living in a world with children who are fatherless and motherless. It's an epidemic. We have a whole generation of children being raised by their grandparents. So let's step up, grandparents, and let's do this right then. If we're gonna do it again, let's do it. And let's do it correctly. And let us teach these children the word of the Lord and the statutes of the Lord and the judgments of the Lord in a correct manner. And as Brother Jacob said, let the Holy Spirit do its work in us. I don't have to repeat what my mom did exactly. That's okay. But what I have to do is rely on what this is and the Holy Spirit in my life. And as Brother Joe said, I am the example to the world in which I live, Brother Ryan.
You know, I know there's a fear doctrine out there that, like you said, where your people scream at people, you're going to burn in hell, and you know, you're a sinner and all this stuff. And that's not the answer.
No.
But to your point, God doesn't mince words with his people. So parents need to quit mincing words with their kids.
Right.
Because I'm going to tell you something. Kids haven't changed. Their parents have. Amen. So when the parents lower the standard, the kids will hit that standard and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be raising the standard for our kids, not lowering it because we don't want to hurt their feelings or make them upset or, you know, whatever. And I know there's emotional stuff. I'm sensitive to all that. I'm not talking that. I'm just talking as a rule. You know, God, in the book of Deuteronomy here, he says, do these things. Don't follow other idols because your God is among you. And he's a jealous God. And it says, otherwise, the Lord your God will become angry with you and obliterate you from the face of the earth. He doesn't mess around.
Right. Yeah.
And that's okay, but there's also a way out. He's not just saying that if you make a mistake, he's going to obliterate you. He's saying if you cast him aside, So I think there's a fine line between all of that, and we have to pick that in our own family and based on how your kid acts, probably. But I just, that's one thing I just think we need to stay focused on. I didn't have a perfect childhood, but I can tell you when I needed whacked, I got whacked, you know? It didn't make me perfect. I still disobeyed. I still went astray. But I knew right from wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad didn't soften, nor did my mom, soften the level of rightness because I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
It still was right, whether I liked it or not.
Right.
Right was right and wrong was wrong. And I think our world is just, we're blurring that line so bad. It's such a dangerous place. To the brother's point, it's just going to get worse. The family, if you're blurring the line with your kids, what are they going to do with their kids? They're going to say, okay, well, I'm starting here. And if I go a little lower, and pretty soon they're going to be at rock bottom.
Right.
And there's going to be nothing.
Right.
So
it's important. One of the things I thought about this week is the acronym of house in this house that can be brought into your house. So when we honor one another, how many of you know you should honor your kids? So the Bible directs us to not cause our children to be in wrath, to provoke. That's the word I was looking for. You stupid idiot. You will never amount to anything. You hearing those words? That's dishonorable. And just because that's your kid doesn't mean that you get to say them. It's just as bad as if you actually use curse words. It is cursing. You're right. To call them a name just because they frustrated you. And yes, as Pastor said, you have degraded them, lowered them. Discipline is not about calling names. Discipline isn't losing control and grabbing their arm and shaking them all over the place because you're frustrated because they've embarrassed you. That's not honor. That's not discipline. And we live in a world where parents only discipline when other people are watching. And then they go overboard because they're worried about what somebody else thinks about their parenting. It has nothing to do with the child. Honor your children. They're supposed to honor you, but you honor them. And you be open with them. And you make that house a house of unity. And you show them service. Not just barking orders all the time, but you show them service and what that looks like. And you show them excellence. Not because you want to show everybody what a great parent you are, but because you understand that God has given you a gift in these children and they are not yours, they are his. And everything you do with them needs to be done in correctness and honor. Let me tell you something. I'm talking to people right now who have messed it up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They messed it up. Maybe they got adult children. Maybe they got teenagers who are now out of control because they didn't do it right. Is there hope for them? Absolutely. There is power in the name of Jesus, and Jesus can turn any situation around anytime. Aren't you glad for that? There is power in the name of Jesus and the authority of Jesus in your life. Go ahead, Brother Jacob.
It was just confirmation. I also heard it earlier today as well. We can't forget about the prodigal son.
Yeah.
And how he returned after he learned his ways were not the right ways.
Yeah.
Can't say I've never been along them lines myself. And also, Christ leaves the 99.
Yeah, yeah.
And goes after the one.
Just the one. Yeah. Yeah. There's hope in Jesus always. There's always hope. Brother Ryan.
I just want to say something real quick. And this is for the adults. The first witness your kids are going to have growing up is how you treat each other. Mm-hmm. How the husband treats the wife and how the wife treats the husband.
Amen.
That's what they're going to see. And I can tell you right now, the way you treat them will affect the way they live. But the way you treat your spouse, or, and it doesn't even matter if it's a stepmom or it doesn't matter. Man treating a woman and woman treating the man mm-hmm. with honor. Those kids see that, and mm-hmm. what they see, most of the time, they're going to believe is right yeah. because kids yeah. think what their mom and dads do is right.
Right.
Even if their mom and dads tell them it's wrong, mm-hmm. don't do what I do, do what I tell you. Mm-hmm. Or they're saying, well, it's good enough for you.
Yeah.
So they think what they see is yeah. right, and they learn that. Yeah. So.
And they will repeat it. Amen. Go ahead.
So the other thing I think, in summary, it's the spirit of the fear of the Lord that needs to be brought back into this earth. The Lord has really been placing that heavy on my heart. And if you look in the book of Isaiah in chapter 11, it talks about the spirit of the fear of the Lord. So if the spirit of the fear of the Lord is in every household, the children are going to see that, because the fear of the Lord is a reverential awe in respect of who he is.
Amen.
But it's also that fear of his judgment in unrighteousness. And I think that's something that's really been taken out of our nation. Mm-hmm. And I know that's something that is something that we really need to pray back into this nation.
Yes, amen. Before I read this last, the Psalms 119... years ago, we lived on a curve on 106, and people would always miss that curve, and you could hear them coming, and we would think, oh, they're not going to make it. So one day, we heard this sound like a sports car, and he was just gunning it, and you could hear him, and Jim said, he's not going to make it. And he went streaming up into our yard and hit the pole. It was a beautiful, beautiful car. And the young man got out, and he was crying. And he kept saying, he's going to kill me, he's going to kill me, he's going to kill me. And we had him sit down, and he was really upset. And his dad came. Brother Jim, what's the name of the dad? Was it Hotelling? Mr. Hotelling. Anybody know who Mr. Hotelling is? Mr. Hotelling showed up, and it was his son. And it was his brother's car who was in the Army. He had taken his brother's car, and he was speeding with it and tore up the front end. And he was crying. He said, he's going to kill me, Dad. He's going to kill me. Look at the car. He just kept crying. And his dad stopped him and said, I need to know if you are okay. He said, this is just a car. And yes, he's going to be really mad. And those are the consequences of your actions. But I need to know, how are you? Ladies and gentlemen, that is what we need to do with our children. Yes, I know you messed up. And yes, there's probably going to be consequences to these actions. I need to know if you are okay. Are you okay? And we need to consistently ask that question. Because we live in a world that has just torn down our kids. And it's time for them to believe that they have a purpose in this world. And they're not just floating around just so that they can have TikTok videos. But there is a purpose for them in this world. I was reading the other day about an influencer. Anybody know what that is? An influencer? So if you're older... So it's a person on, I don't know, TikTok media, whatever, and they've got so many followers and whatever they're doing, everybody is watching, whatever that is, whether it's music or, I don't know. But the word influence means to flow in. Isn't that something? To flow in. So let's be influencers. In our families. Let's let the Spirit of the Lord flow in and begin to saturate not only our homes, but everything that we do, everything we touch, everything we say. Let the Spirit of the Lord flow in. Brother Andy.
So, yeah, there's tremendous hope. When you read Chronicles and Kings and Samuel, you'll see that. And he did what was wicked in the eyes of the Lord. And then there was another king, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. So there's hope there. But one time I was having a conversation with God. I'm like, why are people saying all this bad stuff is happening in the nation, in the world, all these tragedies, whatever, like chaos all over the earth? And right as I was, after I prayed that to God, I turned on YouTube to the book of Romans. There was like 900,000 views. So whether those are children or parents or grandmothers, a million, you know, like reading the book of Romans.
Somebody's reading it. Somebody is. And you're right, Brother Andy. We have to be very careful because we look at this world and we, you know, it used to be something happened in Toledo or Columbus and then now it gets closer to home as it has in the last year in our small community and in Upper Sandusky also. And it's easy for us to get overwhelmed by the evilness, but what needs to happen is that we need to more than ever before stand up in righteousness and say, this is what's going to happen in my community. This is what's going to happen in my home. This is what's going to happen. And if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. Amen. All right, let's read the last few verses in our lesson studies. Psalms 119, and many of you know this is the longest chapter. It talks a lot in the book, in the Bible, talks a lot about the statutes of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How's he going to cleanse his way? The psalmist asks. How does he do that? He takes heed to my word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Isn't that interesting, that quote there? And have respect to your ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And as many of you have said tonight, it's not about just list going and following a bunch of rules. It's about your change in my heart until I have delight in your statutes. That it brings me joy to obey your word. It brings me wholeness to do what you have declared for me to do. How many of you have ever, you were a Christian, but you're walking way back? Always remind me of the scripture, Peter followed afar off. He was still following, but he was way back there. Anybody ever follow afar off? How does that make you feel? Down? Pardon? I don't always feel forgiven when I'm walking way far away.
I thought I was doing really, really good because I knew who Jesus was, and I thought, man, I'm good. I used to tell people that. I don't need that all that. So I think when I was walking afar off, it's only now that I look back and can say, I'm forgiven.
Yes, right, right.
So,
yeah. Anybody else? What did you feel like when you were walking afar off? You love Jesus. You love God's people. Maybe you made it to church once in a while because you felt guilty enough to be there. You sat in the back. As soon as church was over, you were out the door. You came in just as church started so nobody could talk to you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's just all the signs are there. You ain't fooling nobody. Everybody knows. They can watch you know. And that's really literally called backsliding. You're going backwards. And it's a dangerous place to be in. And every time you're there, you will come to a crossroad. You will come to a crossroad every time. And if you choose the wrong path, it's a very scary place to be. I have been in spots where I came to a crossroad and I was shaken with everything in me. And I stood there and it was like I could see it. I had a choice. Do I stay angry and bitter and mean and hateful to the people of God? And it's because of those people that I'm where I am. Those church people. They're a bunch of hypocrites. Or do I say, Father, I'm in a really scary place. Please forgive me. I want to come home. I want to come back close to you. And I've seen people who have been in those crossroads, and I've seen them make a decision to go the other direction. As Sister Alicia said, let's pray for those prodigals. Wherever they go, whether it's here or someplace else, so that they fall in love with Jesus again. One of the churches in the book of Revelation, one of their sins was, you have lost your first love. And what was the remedy of getting back your first love? Do your first works over. It's really simple. As Sister Alicia said, not only does he tell you what to do, he tells you how to do it. Have you lost your first love? Well, this is the remedy. Do your first works over. Start brand new. Hallelujah. How many of you are grateful that every day his mercies are new every morning? You get to start brand new every single day. You messed up today? Guess what? Wake up in the morning and his mercies are brand spanking new. You yelled at your kids yesterday and didn't do your parenting right? Guess what? Tomorrow morning, you get to start all over again. Hallelujah. And the reason you do that is because you delight yourself in his statutes. You pay attention to what he is saying in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Linda, will you come up front for me? Sit here, you can sit down. Sister Linda is experiencing some pretty severe issues in her body. And she believes in healing, right? And the oil is right here in the back. And I would like you all to pray with her. Let me sit right here. Some pretty severe things. But you know that God is going to heal you. Mm-hmm. Whether he heals you right now or heals you through a doctor's care, he's going to heal you. Because he's got more work for you to do. Amen. So if you would join me today. Let's see the oil. There it is. And Sister Jenny, will you come too? My brother is also experiencing some issues in his body. Pray for the call for the elders of the church, anointing them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. In the name of Jesus, we speak your word. We are being obedient right now. We pray for this blood that it would move in her body correctly, that there be nothing that would stop this blood flow in the name of Jesus. 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 We speak healing in the name of Jesus. Remove every amount of fear in the name of Jesus. 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 In the name of Jesus.
Father God, right now we just declare the joy of the Lord will be her strength. Dear God, that when she wakes up in the morning, she will think differently than she's thought for weeks. Dear God, that the joy will bring peace to her body, peace to her mind. And dear God, that faith is going to arise in her.
In the name of Jesus.
We believe and receive it right yes. now, Father God.
Yes.
Joy.
Yes, we agree.
Joy.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Lord Jesus, I just pray for my sister. She's the sweetest woman I've
ever met. Jesus
Christ. Let her body, Lord. Let her know how much we love her. How much you love her, Lord Jesus. Your grace and your love will heal her. Jesus.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory be to God.
And Jesus. Oh, that I see out all that I make it easy. How that I miss out all that I make it work. It's your love. How that I miss all that I yell. How that I make it yell. It's so wonderful. How that I make it your love. I'm in the world. I miss your world. Oh, my love. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jennifer, come with me, would you? I'm going to stand in place of Al. My brother Al has had to go to the hospital and has had several things going on. And the Lord needs to heal his body. And the Lord needs to show doctors what's going on so that they can give him the right medicine instead of, you know, kind of treating him like a guinea pig. And so so we're going to pray for you, and you're going to stand in for him. And so when you go home, you're going to lay hands on that. Stubborn man, all right? In the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for this wife who's taking care of this man. We thank you, God, for her compassion and her patience. We pray, God, that as she stands in for him, God, wherever Al is right now, that the Spirit of the Lord would just come upon him and bring him healing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, heal his lungs, Lord. Heal his lungs, Lord, in the name of Jesus. 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 Anybody else need prayer? Don't want to leave you out. If you feel like you want to stand in for someone or you feel like you need prayer, Brother Jesse?
I guess I do.
Well, all right, go ahead, Brother Ryan.
Need prayer for? Ask him. What do you feel, bud?
Is that a message to him? Okay, man.